This is an iHeart podcast.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? My drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
None of what you see is real. I'll explain in a second. Also, the Seattle police chief resigns. That's not good. And finally, why you should never go in the ocean. All that's coming up on I'm Right. I know you think I am the coolest person that walks the planet, and for the most part, that is true. But I have to admit to you, I am a bit of a nerd when it comes to history stuff. I talk about history all the time. You've heard me talk about it on this show. I open up my radio show every day, and I talk about history for like an hour before I even get to politics. So I read a lot. I do some podcasting stuff when I have a chance to. And I read a lot about generals because military history is extremely fascinating. Battles, wars, chess pieces moving here and there. And one of the things that'll really blow you away if you start digging into that, and this applies today, yesteryear, and a long, long time ago. Generals. Generals, especially the really, really important ones, they travel with their own press corps. Lots of them. I don't mean one or two guys most of the time, too. They travel with a group of chroniclers talking about how great the general's doing, how evil the enemy is, how brilliant this move is and brilliant that move is. And the reason I'm bringing all this up is you and I, for the most part, enjoy history somewhat. You may not geek out on it like I do, but you enjoy it. Somebody like Julius Caesar. He conquers Gaul, kills like a million people. We're not going to focus on that. Conquers Gaul. We're like, woohoo, military genius, right? I would tell you that, military genius. You know, like the only account of that we have is Julius Caesar's. Did you know that? It's his own personal diaries. It's his own personal correspondence. It's difficult to get any real information when all of it is filtered through one person with an agenda. What do you actually know about anything? And don't for a second think that that only applies to Julius Caesar or people back in the ancient scrolls days. You live in that world, and you live in that world right freaking now. Right now. Do you know how damaging the American media is? How absolutely nation-ending having a media like this is. Let me paint this picture for you, because I know we have a bunch of Democrats who watch the show too, which I can't believe. You guys must just chuck stuff at the TV all night, or you just like it. But we filter every single news story through the lens of, does this make Democrats look good? Does this make Republicans look bad? That's how they pick and choose. And I'm not guessing numbers here. This isn't the same old Republican line we've all used. I hate the liberal media. The liberal media is all... Yes, they're all liberal. They're all insane. But when the American people can't find accurate information anymore without a great deal of effort, that can lead to the end of a country. And there are some great examples just recently about this. Let's go over just a couple. Before I actually get to the coronavirus point that I'm trying to get to, let's talk about the George Floyd fiasco. George Floyd dies. Everyone watches the video. Everyone decides, cops are racist. A cop's racist. It's a racist cop. Racist cops everywhere. Racist, racist, racist. We got racist cops. We need federal legislation. You know what? Let's burn some stuff down. Kill some people. Whatever. We got to stop these racist cops. And then another guy, I believe his name was Rashard Brooks in Atlanta, gets shot. Cop kills him. Oh, racist cop. Cop's in jail. Already arrested. Murder. But none of that turned out to be true. None of that turned out to be true. And we burn down and are burning down American cities because we can't get accurate information. Because it's all filtered through this lens of, I don't know, white guilt? Is that what we're going to call that? And there's a lot of aspects to this, but that's definitely one of them. Everyone saw the video of what the cop did. It was wrong, of course, but nobody wanted to take a breath and say, let's wait for the body cam video to come out. Let's wait for the toxicology report to come out. Turns out that body cam video was pretty bad. I'm not excusing the cops still, but that body cam video did not make George Floyd look good. And then we get the results of the toxicology report, and he has fatal doses of drugs in his system already. Well, that doesn't justify what the cop did, but kind of changes that whole cop's a racist narrative, doesn't it? On top of that, nobody even asked while we were burning down American cities if the cop who had the confrontation with Floyd, if he was a racist. I mean, I did, but I was like the only one. And nobody to this day has produced a single piece of information, even rumor, that the cop did anything racially motivated. There's plenty of evidence out there he's a bad cop, uses too much force. There's evidence out there he had a bad personal history. They worked together with George Floyd. Not one thing out there saying that cop was a racist. And yet the narrative just took off because it's all controlled. Because everything you see is controlled. The Atlanta thing was even worse. We took the bad momentum that was already rolling this way, and we took a guy who wrestles with two cops in the dark, a guy who's passed out in the Wendy's parking lot, passed out in the Wendy's drive-thru, cops wrestle with him, the guy fights the cops, steals the cop's taser, takes off sprinting in the middle of the night, turns around, points it at him, the cop does a shoot, guy dies, the cop's being charged with murder? Wait, what? That cop should get a medal. A cop should get a commendation. That's good police work. That's what we ask them to do. We ask them to go into the dark of night, people committing crimes, and confront them. It's an ugly, violent world. And yet, we somehow have flipped everything 180 degrees. Everything's exactly the opposite as it should be. And there's no greater example of this than the coronavirus fiasco. On top of everything else I've yelled about, on top of the economy and these idiotic 50-cent cloth masks everybody's walking around. You mustn't walk around like this with your hand over your face. It's not doing anything. On top of all that, we have the story of St. Governor Cuomo of New York. You have to remember, I hope you do remember, when this was all going down and people in New York were dying by the thousand. Governor Cuomo was up there giving press conferences. He's the governor of one state. All right, he's not the president of the United States of America or anything. He's the governor of one state, and I realize it's a big, important one. He's giving press conferences every single day that are covered by the national media. Not only are they covered by the national media, we were then treated to endless coverage of, oh, man, what a leader. You know what? Why don't we get him in the running for president? Remember, they started asking him right away, man, this guy needs to run for president. Look at how he handles this. Look at this leader of men. This is awesome. And now the information has been coming out steadily. It's not as if we're just finding this out today. It's been coming out steadily. This guy killed people. His coronavirus policies killed people. He put people infected with coronavirus into nursing homes, into places where that's the one group of people who are actually vulnerable to die from this virus for the most part. He essentially put human biological weapons into nursing homes and got untold amounts of people killed. So not only is he not the governor, the bright shining example of what to do. This guy should be a national laughingstock. This guy should resign. And if he was a Republican, he would resign. Here he is.
No, I wouldn't do an investigation as to whether or not it's political. Everybody can make that decision for themselves. I think you'd have to be blind to realize it's not political. Just look at where it comes from and look at the sources and look at their political affiliation and look at who wrote the letter in Congress and look at what publications raise it and what media networks raise it. It's kind of incredible. Look at the basic facts on where New York is versus other states, right? You look at where New York is as a percentage of nursing home deaths, it's all the way at the bottom of the list of states. So I don't think anyone, you know, what's political, what's not political, everyone can make their own decisions.
Oh, we know what is and isn't political. We know that New York leads the nation by a significant margin in coronavirus deaths. And that man is the governor of New York. And what we do know is, remember those generals who travel with their own press corps? If you're a Democrat in the United States of America, you have your own press corps. They'll take the worst, most embarrassing loss, and by the time they're done writing the stories, it'll be a brilliant win. It's amazing to watch time and time again. And back to what I was talking about, you can't move on as a nation like this. So I have a very difficult question to ask you tonight, and I'm asking this, and I don't know the answer to it. Is a free press a mistake? I know that gets way uncomfortable, right? Because, I mean, God knows, I don't want some state-run media. We can't have these scumbags in the government running it. Is the only other option a free one? Because you look at the way the American media conducts itself now. Is this good or bad for the United States of America? Clearly bad. You have to be the farthest left hack to say otherwise. So if it's clearly bad for the nation, then something we did didn't work. Something didn't work. I don't have a good answer for you. I don't know that there is a good answer, but I do know this. A country with a media like this is not looking good. All right, speaking of media, you can see plenty of violence and break-ins and fires and shoot, we got tornadoes all over the place now. Hurricanes, there's a volcano going off somewhere. I mean, it's not, look, let's be honest, it's not good. There's not a lot of great news out there. Here is some good news though. Vault Pro USA. Vault Pro USA is a veteran-owned company, an America-based company, lifetime warranties, and I'm talking about gun safes, vault doors, storm shelters. Shelters you can put, I mean, all kinds of things, shelving in them. You can get ones they already have, or you can customize them. This company is fantastic, and let's be honest, it's probably time to start locking up your valuables. Maybe even time to just play it safe. Maybe have a little place to lock up more than your valuables. Maybe yourself. Maybe just go check out what they have. Go to vaultprousa.com/Jesse. That's vaultprousa.com/Jesse. Look around at what they have. Oh, and if you want to save a whole bunch of money, use the code THEFIRSTTV. That's THEFIRSTTV. Save yourself a pile. We'll be back. Well, we have really, really moved things forward in this country over the past 2 or 3 or 4 months, right? Look at what we've done to this country. Look at what we've done to race relations in America. Be honest. You don't have to say it out loud. You don't have to text your buddies or put it on social media. Just be honest with yourself. You're watching the show. Are race relations better today than they were a month ago? 2 months ago, nobody would say yes. Nobody. Not a single person honestly watching this show would say yes. Well, why aren't they better? I mean, it was supposed to be all about, you know, racial justice and equality and all these other things. So why aren't race relations better? Two reasons. One, and this is the big one, leftism, which is what all this was, leftism doesn't create. Leftism is not a something that can create anything. Leftism is a religion, and it is a religion of destruction and domination. And so when you find out a group like Black Lives Matter is a leftist front group, when you go to their website, which you can do still, and you look at their mission statement and find out it's just like this laundry list of horrific social justice warrior leftist crap, you automatically know this is only a group here to destroy. They're only here to destroy. And what's amazing about it is they don't actually care about the color that much. They're here to destroy it all. White people, black people, Asians, Hispanic, whatever the case may be, leftism destroys everything and everyone, period. The only person who does okay in a leftist regime is the two or three guys holding all the power in the government. Everyone else goes backwards. Everyone else either dies or has a worse standard of living because of it. Look at it. We've talked about this before. What about black people in America right now? Now, I'm not talking about black people in rural America, but these urban black communities right now. Do you know the living hell they're going through? Look at what they're going through now. Because they have crime-ridden neighborhoods, and the cops were always in those neighborhoods. We act like the cops were just, yee-haw, Wild West, just hunting down black people 2 months ago. We've gone to proactive policing all over this country. The cops had relationships all over these communities. The cops were there helping these communities all the time. And we were too weak to say the cops weren't the problem. And so we ran the cops out, defunded them, fired them. And setting the cops aside for a moment, we'll get back to them. What's life like now for the 90-95% of law-abiding citizens in these poor black neighborhoods? Yeah, sure, they don't make any money. They're poor. Hopefully they get out of there. That doesn't make them criminals. We have law-abiding citizens all over these neighborhoods. They have to live life now without any police protection. They have to live life now knowing the gangs and the scumbags are the only ones with any power. We have, through our equality movement, we've made their life a living hell. We've made their life a living hell. And the second part I wanted to bring up is nobody wanted to acknowledge in the very beginning that this didn't have anything to do with equality. This was a black supremacy movement. This had nothing to do with equality. You see it all over the place now. That's why people are starting to shrink away from this Black Lives Matter thing. Because as more and more of it comes out, it's awful. Who doesn't want equality? You surely want it. I want it. I don't want people to be racist. This is a black supremacist movement. And I'm not down for any supremacist movements. Not black ones, not white ones, not any of them. I don't get down with that. If you're going to do that, you're doing that all on your own. Which brings us back to the cops. Remember how I said the police departments were moving forward all over the country? Do you know the Seattle police chief was a woman? A black woman? You know they just decided they're going to slash her pay by $100,000 and cut her police force? Well, she's resigning. Here's Senator Tom Cotton.
Yeah, a lot of these liberal politicians live in fantasy land, and these police chiefs and their police officers are simply trying to enforce the law and explain to them, if you defund the police, if you tell the police to pull back from certain neighborhoods, if you just disrespect law enforcement in general, you're going to get more crime. You are not going to appease rioters in the street, and unfortunately, that's what we're continuing to see in so many of our cities.
That is what we're going to see. That's what we have seen. And I'm not frustrated right now about what we're seeing. I'm frustrated that everybody could see this with a brain right when all this started, and very, very few had the guts to stand up and say it then. That's not an indictment of Tom Cotton, who's overall been outstanding. I'm not bagging on him at all, personally. I'm really not. But where were all these senators Where were all these governors and mayors when everybody was screaming, screw the cops, the cops are the enemy? Where were you when the going was tough? I'll tell you where you were. You were either hiding or you were like Senator Romney actually going to Black Lives Matter rallies. Disgusting. It's disgusting. All right. You know what isn't disgusting? My BattleBox subscription. It is, I'm telling you, take my word for it. This is, as a dude, it is the subscription you need. And ladies, he may be having a birthday coming up, whatever the case may be. Maybe you just want to do something nice for him. You don't have to break the bank. The subscriptions start at just $30 a month. Go to BattleBox.com. Use the code Jesse. That gets you 20% off. 20% off. BattleBox.com with no E. And check these things out. It's a box. It's a box, probably that big, maybe. And it comes, and it's based off that show Southern Survival on Netflix. I know you've seen it. I've seen it. And they open up these boxes, and they show you how to use all the different survival items in the box. I'm not making this up. They sent me one. You know what? I'm going to try to remember. I'm going to bring this to you all tomorrow. They sent me this great one with the hatchet in it and everything else. And part of my box is a grill. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, wow, it's a grill. No, no, no. You don't understand. This is a grill, okay, that you use once, and then it's 100% biodegradable. You bury a hole in the ground, cover it up with dirt, it'll just go right back to the earth. Is that not the coolest freaking thing you've ever heard? I didn't even know that was a thing. BattleBox.com with no E. Use the code Jesse. Get 20% off. Do it. We'll be back. Joining me now from townhall.com is Kurt Schlichter. First of all, Kurt, Gettysburg, I'm being told today as I look at the news that Gettysburg is a monument to the Confederacy. Did I get my history stories wrong? Because I would have sworn that wasn't necessarily the case. Did that go differently?
Well, Jesse, if CNN says it, it's got to be true. But I'm very confused. Because my family is from Chambersburg, which was right down the street from Gettysburg. The Confederates were busy burning Chambersburg when they marched up the road and met up with the Union forces. And I've got my own little Gettysburg permanent mark. I fell and cracked my head on the Peace Memorial right there when I was about 5 years old. So I don't know. Is that an emblem of the Confederacy? Is it the mark of the beast? I don't know. You be the judge. It'd be a little confusing for a family that, you know, literally fought on the Union side of the Civil War. But, you know, it's CNN. It's an airport lounge. What are you going to do?
Only Kurt Schlichter would have a scar from a peace memorial in this country. Kurt, I do have to ask before we move on to something else. What is this new obsession with the Civil War? And I ask this because I geek out on the Civil War. I like the Confederate side. I like the Union side. I find the entire conflict fascinating. I find the generals, the soldiers fascinating. I find it to be a fascinating conflict, and I'm not personally invested in it because it happened, like 150 freaking years ago. What is this obsession with polarizing the Civil War?
I don't know. I find the whole thing baffling because here's the thing. These guys, North and South, and again, I'm a Union family. I mean, my grandma literally had a picture of Lincoln in her house. She taught me John Brown's body as a kid, okay? Union family. But these guys who were killing each other to the tune of 600,000 people in America's most horrific shedding of blood ever, the guys who actually fought made peace. They decided afterwards, we're going to put this behind us and all move forward as Americans. And frankly, I think I'll defer to the heroes who fought for the United States in their decision rather than a bunch of goateed Vox writers who can't do a push-up.
Okay, fair enough. Now, Kurt, we have a vice presidential pick coming up one of these days if Joe Biden remembers to get out of bed that morning. Who's it going to be? Who do you think it should be?
Find out who it is.
Oh, I know. Who do you think it should be? If you were a Democrat who wanted Joe Biden to win, which I know is a bit of a stretch for you, but if you were, who do you think he should pick? And who do you think he's going to pick?
I don't think there's any good candidate based on the criteria he's established. I think Kamala Harris is the most obvious choice. She's, a senator, some executive experience. She's run a campaign, albeit badly. She's got a lot of flaws, but, you got one person who's got to, Karen Bass had to go on TV and say, I am not a communist, which, normal people are like, why would you have to say you're not a communist? And then she, of course, alienated liberals because she's not a communist. Susan Rice, who's the guy who wants to go back to the Obama foreign policy? Endless wars, Libya, giving money to the Iranians. I mean, where's that giant constituency other than my neighborhood, which is Ted Lieu's district? I just don't see any good choices for her. Maybe she can go with Chief Lies on Resume, and I guess very, 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 very pink is a kind of person of color.
What about Stacey Abrams? Now, I understand Stacey Abrams is a nutball. It's not like I'm a Stacey Abrams fan. She's an insane person. However, she had, if you're going to bind yourself to picking a black woman, which Biden clearly has, Stacey Abrams at least has some pizzazz. She's got some personality, some charm. None of those other people have any charm.
Well, she's black and she's a woman. And she's also going to alienate everybody who isn't a hardcore leftist. I mean, She's literally nuts. I am the governor of Georgia. She's like one of those like guys at the insane asylum. He's like, I'm Napoleon. as I point out in my brilliant town hall column on Monday, she at least can, he can at least buy her off by appointing her the ambassador to diabetes.
Kurt, I need you to explain to me the Lincoln Project, and I need you to explain it to me in a way that understands most of my viewers have never heard of the Lincoln Project, will never hear of the Lincoln Project. Maybe they'll hear about it in passing. What is it? I find it to be so odd.
The Lincoln Project is an outstanding way for liberal billionaires to squander their money paying off a bunch of never-Trumpers to make little movies that they could show on Twitter to liberal blue checks who go, no one cares. Look, they're grifters. I think that many of them probably enjoy watching their wives get together with the domestic help. But other than that, I think they're an excellent way of flushing money down the toilet. I mean, these liberal billionaires might be giving it to people who are going to have an effect. Instead, you have a bunch of grifters skimming off the dough and, using it for their own purposes, which is just fine with me. If the money has to go somewhere, Jesse, I propose it goes somewhere where it's not going to hurt us. Hence the Lincoln Project.
Kurt Schlichter, townhall.com. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
It's easy to forget about veterans. And this is what I mean by that. I'm not going to do that thing where you dump on, make you feel guilty about it. I can't believe you've forgotten about our veterans. I'm not doing that. I am one, and I tend to not, have them at the front of my mind at all times. But this is what I mean. It's easy to forget about them. Right now, while you and I are living our lives, you're kicking back watching me on the tube. I'm doing some TV here. It's fine. We're not changing the world. It's fine. Hopefully you're entertained. There's somebody out there sitting in his room, his living room by himself right now, and he has some serious, serious issues from combat, and he feels all alone, and he has no idea where to turn, and he doesn't think he can afford help, even if he can find a place to get some help. Warrior's Heart Foundation is out there finding these guys and helping these guys. We're talking about supplementing insurance costs. We're talking about scholarships. Warrior's Heart Foundation is a 501c3. Again, a 501c3. You can give anything you can give to help our guys. This is about them, right? This is about at least letting them know they're not forgotten and maybe getting them the help I dare say they deserve. Don't they deserve that? I think they do. Go to warriorsheartfoundation.org/the first. That's warriorsheartfoundation.org/the first. We'll be back. Joining me now is frequent guest of the show, our resident brainiac to all things political, Ken the Court of the Media Action Network. Ken, first of all, your network, it's man? Is that what it is?
Oh, I don't know if that's really the three letters that means anything. So that was a complete accident, and I apologize if you came to any incorrect notions that MAN could mean anything.
Oh, well, no.
But look,
don't,
you know,
apologize
what?
To me, I'm Ken. You know that's right up my alley.
You know what? I am so tired of the liberal media that I'm tired of reporting on it, and this is our way to kick back at it. And it's basically
what is it?
A Media Matters of the Right, and this is a way that we're not just complaining and whining anymore, but we're actually fighting back literally, and we're harassing reporters, we're helping out their victims, we're helping build people's parlor accounts, we're doing a lot of things on all that. So I'll be the new David Brock in town pretty soon.
Good. Fight fire with fire. Good for you, Ken. Good for you. All right. Now, I need you to you're actually going to be perfect at this. If you're a Democrat, which obviously you're not, and you're advising Joe Biden, setting aside his idiotic has to be a woman, has to be a black woman stuff, who do you tell him to pick for VP? Who is the smart pick for Joe Biden to pick for VP?
It has to be a woman. It has to be a black woman. I mean, you know, I hate to say that, but because the Democrats are so much into identity politics that Republicans don't think in those terms. But if you freak out all of the black female supporters, and that's an important constituency that never goes under 97% for the president, he's locked himself into the female thing. You might as well go with a woman too. I would go with Harris in California. And it's just, she's the safest bet. They don't necessarily need California as a state. They're going to get it no matter what. But all the other ones have been a little nuttier in the past. She's got some prosecutorial things that will make some activist blacks upset with her. But she's the safest choice. And if you're looking for Joe Biden, you're looking for a safe choice, I think.
Why not Stacey Abrams? And hear me out. I know Stacey Abrams is a nut, but I always thought she had some charisma. I can't stand her, but I thought she had some charisma. And I think Kamala comes off to me as somebody trying to have charisma, but really doesn't.
You're 100% right. Kamala Harris is very soft. She excited no one when she was on the campaign trail. But look, most people look at Joe Biden and you look at him, and even if you like him as a person, you're thinking, he ain't going to make it 4 years in the White House. There's a healthy chance that he's unhealthy enough that he dies. Stacey Abrams is president of the United States. I mean, that's a frightening notion to a lot of people. Kamala Harris doesn't frighten people as much. You know, frighten that 3% of people in America who might change their mind right now. And that's what we're about.
Ken, you are all tuned into the rumor mill. I am hearing a lot of rumors that seem to be more than just rumors, that Joe Biden's decline, I'm actually trying to be kind for the first time, whatever's going on, I'm hearing that it's getting worse and getting worse rapidly, and his people are starting to get a little bit concerned about that. Have you heard anything like that?
You know, I don't know if that's us wishing wishing in a humanitarian way. Clearly, I tell you, you know, when the one RNC ad where they put him just, you know, 8 years ago versus now, I mean, you know, he's clearly a different man. And it does seem to be getting worse. But, you know, we're also getting just the clips and little bits of things. I mean, that's, look, every Democrat in America is worried about these debates, because can this guy stand up for hours on end and you know, not have those obvious problems? I mean, when you saw him go after the one black guy, he was like, you know, are you a junkie? Which shouldn't really be your first word association when you have a black reporter that you're talking to, I would think. But then in saying, you know, I'm going to let the American people judge my mental and the physical, and he screwed that up, and you're like, oh man, you know, I'm feeling sorry for him, and I do feel sorry for him. Not sorry
you
enough to black
have him. Been doing. You've been doing this long enough to have a better answer than me on these independent voters, these ones who voted for Barack Obama twice and then turned around and voted for Donald Trump. I will never in a million years figure out what type of person could vote for Barack Obama twice and then Donald Trump. And Donald Trump's president because of 50,000 of those voters spread across the swing states. Everybody knows this. What do they vote on? Is Joe Biden being that way, to put it nicely? Is that something that's going to scare them off? Do they only vote on jobs? Do they vote? What do they vote on?
Look, there are a thousand reasons why people vote, and it's not always what we think. My mom, who was pretty conservative, she would have voted for JFK Jr. because he was good looking. She told me that. Oh, he's so cute. I remember him when he was young and blah, 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 blah. I mean, look, I know some conservatives who won't vote for Trump just because he's Trump and because he says things that are often untrue, and he's often mean. And a lot of people say, politics aside, I don't like him as a human being. I think a lot more people like I'd rather have Joe Biden as a neighbor than Donald Trump. Donald Trump would be yelling at you, and his cars would be going on at 3 a.m, and there'd be loud parties. Joe would come over with a beer and hang out with you. Doesn't mean necessarily that that's the guy to run the country. I think that people have a lot of different rationales, and some people might vote for Joe Biden because they're looking for a black female president of the United States for the first time. I don't really know, but I'd say that it's as varied as there are voters out there.
Trump's executive order about the payroll taxes and student loans. Obviously, everybody knows that's not constitutional. We're not even talking about that. I have argued that nothing's constitutional anymore, so who cares? But is it a smart move politically or not a smart move?
Very smart move. And I feel the exact same way. I remember when Obama did some stuff, he's like, I'm just not going to enforce that part of the immigration laws. You're like, well, that's not your job. I mean, it's a real thing and a real problem for people who are out on unemployment. They can't go to work because the feds or state have really shut down their business, and they're getting hammered. They still have to buy food. They still have to do a lot of things in life. So the fact that he did that, now he put the Democrats in a tough bind. It's like, do you fight that legally? Do you really scream and say, stop giving money away to people who are starving or in trouble? So it was a smart move on that because, you never know who's on which side or, who's lying the most when they're arguing about things, and they say, they were allowed to look magnanimous because Democrats always do that, right? Oh, you want to give $1 billion here? We want to give $20 billion. I mean, that's always the Democratic move, and it's a smart move a lot politically. But him basically getting it out there, looking like he did it, if it gets undone, people aren't going to be mad at him. They'll be mad at somebody else, and that'll either be the courts or that'll be Nancy Pelosi or perhaps both. So as a political move, it was smart. And everybody might just give him a mulligan on this one. People might just let it go and let it go because however the legality and constitutionality of it, that it's probably a smart move to keep doing what he's doing.
When does society get to a place where we just choose to move on from coronavirus? We accept that it is what it is, and we just choose to move on. No more phases, no more masks, no more canceling the season. I'm talking back in concerts, back in football stadiums. When?
Yes, it will be the first Wednesday after the first Monday in November. It will disappear. It will disappear. If Trump wins, they'll be freaking out so much that we'll get to have more riots and all that fun stuff. If Biden wins, people get sick. Hey, there's a virus going through here. It'll end the day after the election. Look, we saw a double clip up. Nope. So there's a chance that it starts to. That the media has a harder time carrying this through for the next 3 months, but they'll try.
Ken McCourt, Media Action Network, who I am now going to call Man from now on. Thank you, Ken. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
I know there's plenty to be stressed about right now. Believe me, I know there is. Look, it's my job to consume the news for you, so I know. It's not good. There's no smiling face you can put on a lot of this stuff. And before all the bad news, you still had stresses in your daily life, didn't you? You lay down at night to go to sleep, and what are you thinking? Oh, it's a good day at work. Oh, it's a bad day at work. Oh, I got a big day at work tomorrow. Oh, what about the wife? What about the kids? What about it's easy to lay down at night and have your mind just start going a million miles an hour, and then you can't sleep. And then you're worried about not sleeping, so then you can't sleep some more. And then you're worried about, you know how it goes. Get a Neb Sleep. It's not pills. It's a wearable device. You put it on, It applies precise, continuous cooling to your forehead, calming those thoughts down and putting you asleep, giving you natural sleep. And look, you don't have to take my word for it. You can try it risk-free for 60 days. 60 days! Go to tryebb.com/Jesse. That's tryebb.com/Jesse. Use the code Jesse. Get yourself $25 off. Believe me when I tell you, your entire life changes when you start sleeping. We'll be back. I'm going to show you a video here in a second of a great white shark. And you probably, while I'm talking, maybe you should pause it real quick, leave the room, go grab a change of underwear, and then come back because you're most likely going to need it for this. And I just have to say something before I go to the video of the great white shark. Before I even show you this, there's something that drives me nuts about these shark shows we see on TV. I love them just like you love them. These shark scientists, I think they're called marine biologists. Mitchell, are they called marine biologists? That sounds right. Whatever, it sounds oceany. These guys who study oceany stuff, and they study sharks, and they love sharks, and that's fine. But whenever you get to one of these horrible shark attacks, which what could be more horrifying than you being alone in the ocean and have some gigantic jaw come up and bite you in half in the water? It's got to be the most horrifying thing in the world. Completely silent and huge and terrifying. And you'll always get, they'll have some lady on there. It's like family of three murdered by a great white shark. All of them bitten in half. They found a hand on the beach somewhere. And then they'll switch right to some marine biologist. And this is what he'll say every single time. You know, it's really just a case of mistaken identity. The shark was not trying to eat a person there. The shark just thought the family of three were baby seals. And so the shark ate them all. And what drives me nuts is not that he's saying that, because he's obviously right. It's that he's saying that as if that's supposed to be some sort of comfort. As if I'll be swimming in the ocean one day. And some, I don't know, 90,000-pound great white, I don't do science. And some 90,000-pound great white comes screaming out of the water and bites me in two, which would actually kind of be a cool way to go. Never mind, don't get me distracted. And bites me in two. And as I'm having my body torn in half by teeth that are the size of my hand, I'll be thinking to myself, ha, it's not a big deal. He just thought I was a seal. Why do they say that as if it's a comfort? If the animal, the killing machine under the water, is so stupid that it can think I am a walrus, that's not a comfort. That's even more terrifying. And so I want you to keep that in mind as you watch this. Oh my goodness. Those exist in the ocean. Those exist in the ocean. And I have to be honest with you, full disclosure, I swim in the ocean. I swim in the ocean because my father, who's a bit of a hard man, used to take us down to the beach when we were kids. We just kind of had this, you know, crappy beach a little ways away from the house. And he'd take us down. That's where we would vacation. And he used to make me go in the water. And then they would take me back and show me the movie Jaws and then make me go back in the water the next day. So I'm so jaded by this point, I swim in the ocean. But I look at videos like that, and I don't think I want to anymore. I'll see you tomorrow.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
This is an iHeart podcast.